Hey, you guys.
And we are back.
Happy Sunday. Look at how fucking bright that light is over there.
I know. Last night was fucking something else. And I'm opening in this. What the fuck? Oh, shit. I got to turn the volume off. That's
what
you did that,
doing?
Jen.
No, I absolutely did not.
I'm just bad.
He just blames me for everything.
I'm going to turn this shit, open this shit up. It says zero sugar. There's no sweetness at all, and it's just zero sugar. It's all
well,
fucking...
Well, it is sweet.
It's
just, like, fake. It's just fake. That's why they, I told you, that's why they call all those diet drinks zero nowadays, because they thought that that diet stuff sounded too feminine.
It's too feminine.
And dudes wouldn't buy it.
Yeah, too
dude's feminine. Like, I'm not on a diet. I don't need a diet.
I'm talking about diet.
So they had to make all the cans, like, black and red.
Put
and make
that shit
them
on a regiment. Not a diet. Big difference.
Regiment, that's what they should call it.
That's what they call it, yeah.
I know, it's hilarious that it's like you can't call it a diet, because
no.
It's too girly.
Well, in the Latin language, it's called a regime. A regime. Regiment.
Danny Rowling says, if Burt Reynolds got cremated, then that would make him Burt Reynolds.
Burt, oh, stop. Stop.
Is that quite a dad joke? I'm not really... Yeah, that kind of sounds
probably
like a dad joke.
So, we've been on this kick of watching these old Burt Reynolds movies and, shit, Pookie's throwing the fucking toys like she'll pick up a damn mouse and throw it one hand and then chase it. Watching like his old 70s movies.
Although this one's 80s.
This one's 80s, though. But when we started watching Burt Reynolds, it was Burt Reynolds back in the 70s.
Yeah.
And most of the time, you know, when you're talking about like White Lightning or Gator, which is like that's part one, part two is Gator, and Smoking the Bandit, and fucking Cannonball Run, I don't think so, but he's in that. But Smoking the Bandit. These were movies that came out of studios that were like, by Southerners, for Southerners, about the South, and just Southern mentalities. They were meant to be sold in the Southern regions, in the movie theaters there. They didn't give a shit whether or not they sold to, say, like California or the Northeast. You know, they didn't care, because you could recoup all your expenses just on Memphis sales alone, because there was a pretty big market. And this one was Malone, and I don't know if this particular movie was oriented towards the South. It didn't quite feel like it.
This one is a much more like general
right. Action
thriller. It's actually based on a novel. So.
It's pretty good. It's about a guy who's kind of like he had a long history in special operations. He started in Vietnam, and then he started working for kind of clandestine type organizations. They show his record. He did some shit in fucking Laos and
He's like a CIA assassin, essentially.
Yeah, he's like a contractor for him.
Yeah,
and worked in Chile. Probably did some stuff for Pinochet and stuff. But the movie starts where he's supposed to be taking out this target, and he just sees a dude through this rifle scope, and he's like, "Nah, I don't want to do it.
I quit."
Yeah, he just kind of quit. And he kind of goes on to run. He's got a badass car. It's kind of like from Bullet, It's an old Mustang. And he kind of runs up into the damn mountains. It looks like California, but
it's Oregon.
It's
actually.
Oregon.
Yeah, it's Oregon.
Looks like Sierra Nevada. And his car breaks down. He's got to wait for parts, and kind of falls into this friendship with the mechanic and the mechanic's daughter. And the mechanic's daughter's, she's in her late teens, early 20s, but.
Yeah, I looked up because I was like, well, how old is her character supposed to be?
Yeah.
17.
17.
Her characters. I don't know how. It was Cynthia Gibb, who was in a bunch of shit. She was like in a bunch of TV and everything. I recognized her. She was actually in Fame, I think. That's where I recognized her from, the TV show and the movie. But she was in a fuck ton of other stuff also. But she's supposed to be 17.
No romantic relationship really breaks out, not on a physical term, but she has this crush on him. He doesn't. He likes her, but I don't think he ever does anything about it.
No,
because he's 50-something,
Yeah,
and I would think that he's probably 50 in this, huh?
He's got to be. I mean, this was 87.
Yeah,
when this came out, so
he's wearing a hairpiece. That's not his hair. You can't even see any damn scalp.
It's so lush.
They're fucking. He'll be in full daylight, and it's just black, like the black hole. It's sucking in fucking light, but I don't know. I enjoyed the movie. for a free movie, you can watch this on Amazon, and I think it was free on YouTube. Isn't that where we saw it? Free on YouTube?
I can't remember. I thought that we saw it on Amazon Prime, but okay. I could be wrong.
Yeah. It was not a perfect movie, but pretty good. It had some good gunfights in it with guns that were kind of exotic back in the day. A lot of little mini Uzis and shit. Suppressed stuff. He had a damn wieldy auto. It looked like a fucking... No, it was an auto mag. 44 auto mag. He's got one of those. She finds it underneath the bed. She's fucking Snoopy. That girl fucking goes through his fucking shit. She's just going through all his stuff.
That's what I mean. It is like their house, but by the same token, if I was a guest in somebody's house, I wouldn't want them like poking through my shit.
Yeah.
Not like I have anything like that's all that scandalous, but it just seems
finding all
like
these damn exotic guns.
Invasion of privacy type situation going on there.
Which we touched on this earlier when we were talking about, I guess it was Beverly Hills Cop 3. Where they had the water mag, I think it was. Was it 3 or 2? I don't remember.
I don't remember.
But, no, fucking assassins don't fucking go for shit that's exotic. Nothing, they go for stuff that's real common. 22 long rifle, 9mm, 38 special, depending on whatever time frame we're talking about. But they always got to pull out this fucking exotic fucking gun, you know what I mean? Only he would have it. Well, shit, that's a fingerprint right there.
Yeah, but for a movie, it's cooler.
For the movie, it's cool.
Even though in real life, it wouldn't make any sense.
Yeah, in the movie, it's cool. But in real life, that's they want exactly the opposite. They want something that fucking doesn't call any attention, something they can throw away, something with real conservative ammo demands, something you can get ammo anywhere, and there's just a shit ton of it. So
yeah, which does. Like, yeah. If you think about it, and even
you're
if you are an assassin,
yeah,
you should look as... You shouldn't look all slick and sharp or anything like that. You should just look like a regular ass schlub so nobody would, like, suspect you.
Yeah, which that's...
Just like, try to look as generic as possible.
Yep. Just like...
Which would seem to be common sense.
Some of the stuff that... One of the movies that kind of called it a little bit was, what is it, 3 Days of the Condor. Where a dude shows up dressed like the mailman, because you wouldn't really suspect a mailman. And he's got a bag. And in the bag, he had a fucking MAC-10, but it was suppressed. But he had a whole government agency behind him. You know what I mean? So he wasn't going to get caught. Even if he got caught, they'd get him out of it. Real exotic shit? Nah.
Slasher Fred says, this movie stars the late Cliff Robertson. Yeah, that's right, he was the bad guy.
Yeah.
Who was known by many Spider-Man fans for playing Ben Parker in the original Sam Raimi trilogy. That's right.
See, we got people in the damn audience that know these things.
Well, yeah, because like I said.
Helping out on the show. See, it's all crowdsourced. Then it's Rob a good
says,
movie, though.
It is, actually. It was, like, much better than I was expecting. Somebody asked if it was canon. No, it's not canon.
No, you can tell it's not canon.
This one actually seemed... The one thing that was interesting, though, was that there wasn't a lot of Burt's regular humor in it. Now, I haven't seen a lot of his other movies that came out around this time. The ones that did, and Rob just mentioned this, I think critics would argue his choice of films began going downhill around this time, though I liked this one.
Yeah, this was good
cast. I kind of feel like... He was kind of, I think he was kind of having some trouble because some movies he had done prior to this hadn't really done all that well. So he was kind of, you know, again, going downhill a little bit. And also, I was like reading the Wikipedia page about this movie and I had totally forgotten this. But there were rumors in the 80s, like right around this time, that he had AIDS. Do you remember that?
Yeah, it wasn't true.
Yeah, no, it wasn't true.
Yeah.
But I had totally forgotten those rumors.
Because he was a dick slinger. Everybody knew that fucking... Burt had a reputation for just fucking womanizing.
Yeah.
Which may not have been deserved. You know, I think it more had to do with the roles that he was in. I don't know anything about him personally. I know that fucking Lonnie ran off with all his money. He fucking basically left him fucking with a bunch of bills. I think he lost everything from Lonnie. I don't know exactly what the detail was that, but I don't remember that either.
I remember it being like all in the tabloids and stuff, but I didn't really like follow the saga of that, so I don't really. So I'm sure that probably didn't help either.
Yeah,
that he was in all the tabloids and shit.
Yeah.
And then Rob said, "I like the part," this made me laugh too. He said, "I like the part where he kicks the dude in his nuts." The brother says he may never be able to have kids. Malone says that could be a blessing.
Yeah,
was like one of the funniest lines of the movie.
Yeah.
Actually,
this does not have a funny Burt Reynolds in it.
It's very serious.
No, yeah,
it's very serious.
It's a lot more like something out of the Death Wish series or something with what's his name?
Charles Bronson.
Yeah, feels like a Charles Bronson movie.
It does a bit. And actually, I think, as far as I could determine, I don't think Burt Reynolds was necessarily the first choice for this. I think Christopher Lambert, they were maybe wanted him or something like that. So they were, this is, like I said, it was based on a novel, so it's like a way more serious type of story. Tammy says, saw Burt in an interview back in the day saying it was his hair. He paid plenty of money for it.
Yeah.
Well, in this one, well, not only, I mean, you can tell it's like a hair piece because... Not just because of how lush and full it is, and nobody's real hair looks like that.
Nobody's hair looks like
that. But in HD, when he turns around, you can see that it doesn't quite... I mean, it's a good hair piece. I'm not saying that. It is. But in HD, it looks like a slightly different shade, and it's slightly shinier than the real hair.
Yeah.
Because when he turned around, they showed him from the back, like in kind of a close-up. I was like, oh, look, you can see kind of the line where the... Where the hairpiece stops and the
real
hairpiece.
He's got his hair kind of slicked back a little bit like a pompadour, not quite as tall, but
it's floofy.
No man's scalp looks like that with that haircut, not beyond the age of like 20.
No.
And even at 20, you'll see scalp. You don't see any scalp.
Yeah. It's just, it looks like a solid mass.
Looks like he went in and spray painted his damn scalp black.
Yeah. It's just and like a hair.
Yeah, it looks like a hat. Like a hair hat.
Like a Tila
knows
like
all
a
about
plastic.
Hair hats.
That's a hair hat.
Tila had one of the hair hat fucking babies. Hair hat.
But this is like a really serious story. So like I said, he's a CIA assassin. Yeah. He decides, I don't want to do this shit anymore. And obviously, if you're a CIA assassin, the CIA is like, no, you can't just like fucking quit or whatever. Because he doesn't tell anybody.
Right.
He has kind of a thing, because Lauren Hutton is in this too.
Yeah.
Briefly. Like, she's only in like two or three scenes.
Right.
But she's like toward the beginning. You can tell that they're... she's also a CIA assassin.
Yeah.
And she's just kind of like, you can't just... quit or whatever, and you can tell there's kind of sexual tension there that they've they've had like a romantic thing going before, but he's just like, fuck it, I'm out. And so he just kind of like takes off, and he's in his car, he's in Oregon. I think they shot this in Canada, but I think it's supposed to be Oregon. Close enough.
Yeah.
And his car breaks down, and like I said, he ends up at this like in this tiny little remote mountain town, at this mechanic's place, and the mechanic is played by Scott Wilson, who younger viewers will recognize as Herschel from The Walking Dead. Maybe slightly older viewers, like myself, will recognize as one of the killers from In Cold Blood.
Yeah. Now, the CIA assassin thing. I always like to talk about this, because CIA does not have assassins. They basically don't do it. But what they do is they'll hire criminals to do stuff for them.
Yeah.
Those guys are disposable, but there's no such thing like, I'm going to join the CIA and become assassin. No.
Well, I think...
Doesn't work that way.
In this one, it's... Yeah, it's left like... He's a private contractor.
He's a contractor.
But he works for the CIA.
Yeah,
like, on a freelance basis, I guess. They just, like, pay him to be like, hey, why don't you be in this country and
he's working for outfits that kind of contract for him. It's, you know, usually they'll distance themselves. You usually don't need to take somebody out. Usually that's not what they're doing. Usually all they have to do is just... write a bunch of bad stories about him in the newspaper. Get dirt on him. That's mostly what they're doing.
Fourth Star Down said, Bert's hair is radar invisible in this movie.
Yeah.
It really is. Honestly, it's kind of like... It doesn't look bad, though. I mean, it does look like an expensive... You can tell it's a hairpiece, but it does look like an expensive one. It doesn't look like a really like cheap jacket.
Yeah, he just doesn't look like a real person. He looks like an actor. And actors from this time look like that. It's stagey.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't look bad.
It's just,
you know, it's like a girl with big old implants. You know those aren't real. She looks good, though. She just looks like a porn star, you know? But that's the same deal, you know what I mean? Be like...
Yeah, that's a good analogy.
A good analogy. You know, most dudes' hair from this era, and it's probably to this day, too. I had to check. You see him in the movies. That's touched up. That's not the way his hair really looks.
Yeah.
You know, or you'd be like a rock, just shave it all off. And then say, that's my hair. It ain't there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That seems easier. Like I said, I kind of wish I could do that and then just wear
just
wigs,
shave it all fucking off. Well, I guess what T said, I don't think T has any hair. She just wears wigs.
Yeah. I mean, I've considered it.
Yeah, a lot of black girls do that. Look, and our friend there does it. What's her name? The girl who fucking works for Disney.
Crystal.
Yeah, Crystal.
Yeah,
Crystal doesn't have any hair.
It's just because it's such a pain.
Yeah.
like, because my hair is so thick, and it's just, you know, I'm having to, like, fucking pull it out of the fucking shower drain.
The problem with not, with a girl not having hair, the ones that look good without hair don't weigh anything. Them 100-pound girls, yeah, fucking skinny, skinny, skinny. If you just take a normal woman and fucking shave her head, she looks funny looking.
Slasher Fred brings up, this movie stars Lauren Hutton, who played the main antagonist in a very classic 80s vampire movie, which I've seen multiple times, called Once Bitten, with a very young Jim Carrey. It's it's like a horror comedy. Yeah. I actually saw it. I think it's on Tubi for free. I think it came out in 85, I want to say. And it was one of those ones that they kind of showed on cable all the time, so I've probably seen it like 40 million times, and I have like scenes of it memorized. Yeah. We should review that one of these days. Somebody said we should also do Sharky's Machine next.
Yeah.
Because I think...
Didn't do Stroke Ace.
Didn't Burt might have directed Sharky's Machine?
I think so.
He directed, like, some of the movies that he was in. I think he did Stick, which we haven't done yet, and I'm pretty sure he did Sharky's Machine. I don't think he did Stroker Ace, though.
See, when I was a kid coming up in the 80s, we were catching... The Burt Reynolds movies we were catching would be, like, Cannonball Run.
Yeah.
And, like, Smokey and the Bandit. And Stroker Ace. Or is it Stoker Ace?
I think it was Stroker Ace.
Right. And I think that was him. That wasn't Tom Cruise, was it? No, I think that was Burt Reynolds.
Yeah.
And that was towards the end of his action career. He's starting to go into comedy kind of stuff. And guys of my generation weren't into Burt Reynolds movies. That was more like stuff that my dad would be into. But it's kind of good to go back and see these old things. You can appreciate them. They aged well. They don't make movies like these anymore. Especially with White Lightning and Gator. They don't make movies like that anymore.
Rob says, Tom, do you think a person could survive that same gunshot that Malone took to the gut? See,
I don't remember.
During the big firefight at the end, like, or toward the end, you remember he gets shot, like, pretty much right in the gut. I'm looking at that going to be like, that must have killed him. I mean, that looked like it got, like, right in his fucking liver or something like that. And then remember the cops who were kind of in on the shenanigans, like the corruption or whatever, they put him in the back of the cop car and they said, we're going to take you to the hospital.
That's right.
And then he's like driving really fast and like going like that, trying to like fucking shift all his contents around.
Yeah.
And shit like that. So So the fact that he actually kind of survived.
Yeah. Do you remember what it was he got shot with? What was it, 37 Magnum or something?
Revolver? I can't. I thought it was a shotgun, but I could be remembering.
A gut shot with a shotgun.
That's what I mean. Maybe not. I could be remembering it wrong.
No.
He got shot bad. It looked like it got him like right in the fucking gut.
In general, movie gunshot wounds are ridiculous. The guy gets shot and then he's running around, even in the arm. It's very rare that something to the arm.
Well,
or the
plus,
leg,
like, the more you run around, like, the more blood will pump out of it because your heart rate goes up when you're running around.
Sometimes it depends what it is. I mean, I've seen videos of guys that were down in Afghanistan, got shot. It was either in the arm or the leg with an AK, but it didn't hit bone. And he's walking around, I got shot. I got to go to the aid station, and he was all right. But it didn't hit bone. It didn't hit an artery. And an AK round is a full metal jacket round. It's only 30 caliber. And depending on what velocity it is when it hits you, like if it's at a distance, it may have slowed down a little bit some. It can make kind of a surgical wound like an ice pick. Because the way the Soviets had kind of worked that round out is they wanted it to be more towards armor penetration, to penetrate through the aluminum sides of a fucking American APC and just basic armor. It can kind of go through it. So it's more about the primary action of a bullet is penetration, not fragmentation, but penetration. It's better to penetrate and get in there and hit something than to have it fragment on the surface. Even though fragmentation does a lot of damage. You just can't depend on fragmentation in a military situation. You got guys hiding behind trees, and you're going to have to chew through trees, and people inside of buildings, and you got to chew through walls. You know, given enough time and enough ammunition, you can just chew through anything, especially if it's something big like 50 cal. So military is going to go to something that's cheap and something that penetrates. because, you know, shit, man, keeping a whole army in action every day, depending on how much ammunition they're shooting up, and a lot of times they're shooting up a lot, it costs a lot. So you're trying to reduce the cost of the round. You don't want any of these expensive fucking hollow points and lead. You know, you try to minimize the amount of lead, because lead is more expensive than, say, like certain kinds of mild steels. You know, those are more commonly available. It's not strategic. You don't want copper, you know. We use real expensive shit, but we pay for it. The Soviets use cheaper shit. They just give out more ammunition. So something like that, yeah, you can get hit with it. And if it doesn't really hit anything important, you can walk it off. But you're not going to be fighting if you get given the choice, unless you're fighting for your life, you know. So I've seen some guys walk. But what they're showing in these movies is shit like 37 Magnum pistol rounds. Between cops or guys that are agents or something, they're going to be carrying fucking jacketed hollow points, probably. And fuck you up. Gut shot, man, there's all kinds of stuff in there. Kidneys, livers, guts.
Yeah, that was
toxic,
like,
shock sets in. Or
I mean, it would like maybe
stomach acids going
through.
Yeah,
it might like perforate your intestine or your intestinal wall or something like that.
If you go up higher, there's lungs in there, so you're gonna come up with things like sucking chest wounds and shit, where you gotta fucking seal everything off so a guy can get a breath. You know, he's trying to breathe and it's sucking in through the holes, and it's a complication. And then there's arteries running everywhere. You don't want to get shot anywhere. Because everything on your body does something.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Everything on your body does something.
Try not to get shot, pro tip.
Yeah, you get shot in the hand, you know what I mean, and there's bones in there, and it blows the bones out the back, the fingers are fucking going out in every fucking direction, and then they're going to have to put that hand back together, hopefully, if it's possible. And they may not be able to put that hand back together, depending on what it was that hit you. You know, 5.56 does crazy shit, especially up close. You know, it could fucking just fragment a fucking hand. Or you hit an arm and it fucking just, the bone just explodes like a fucking bomb, and it's fucking hanging by fucking pieces of meat and shit. It's nasty, nasty shit. Especially with a bunch of guys up close shooting at you, shooting at one dude, it just fucking shreds them up, you know. There's photographs out there, you can see what it looks like. And headshots, fuck man, a bullet goes in, pressurizes the head, fucking just churns the brain up, fucking shit comes flying out, pink mist and shit. You can see it in live time. They got battle footage out there. Gun camera footage. Dude's being vaporized.
According to Rob, I was right. It was a shotgun.
Gut shot with a shotgun?
And, well, see, I even thought that in the movie. I'm just like, yeah, that he'd be dead.
Yeah, sorry. It's something like double.
And then especially after him getting shot, it's like, even if it didn't kill you outright, him getting jostled around in that fucking cop car like that, I'm like, yeah, he would be totally dead. Yeah. And then, so it wasn't just that, it was just like a few days later, he was like walking around fine.
Yeah, no.
And they even kind of like said, like, because didn't Lauren Hutton's character like say to him,
I wasn't
like,
paying real
I can't
close
believe
attention.
That you're okay after that. He's just like, well, yeah, I'm a fucking badass.
Yeah,
he didn't say that, but yeah, that was kind of the implication.
I didn't realize it was a shotgun.
I thought it was. I wanted to give a shout out to Oracle. Guess who got her pathology report back? Everything benign.
Okay, good.
Hooray!
Yeah, good, yeah.
Yay, that's awesome. Good. That's awesome.
Yeah, fucking 12-gauge shotgun shells, they probably would have been using something like double-aught buck, which is like 6 or 7 30 caliber pellets. It's kind of like getting shot 6 times with a 9mm all up close. And it's lead. Lead pellets, they're soft. They fucking smear. There's no jacket or no casing on them. No jackets. And then, you know, if it's something like number 4 buck, it's even worse. It's like a bunch of fucking 22 caliber bullets hitting you all in one spot. It's like getting hit with a burst of a submachine gun. But it's all up close. You can see photographs of what it looks like, especially if it's a close range. Now, if he was further out, you know, 25 meters, they would spread out a little bit. Maybe only one or two pellets will hit you. But if it was probably from the movies, they usually show a guy getting shot close range with shotguns.
I mean, this
like
one,
punching
it was,
your fist through somebody,
it was
basically
pretty far away. Yeah. The guy that shot him was fairly far away. But, I mean, the wound that they showed, I was just kind of like, he just got killed. You know what I mean?
Was it one hole, or was it multiple holes all up close?
I can't really, I think it was just one hole. But like I said, it was like, and it wasn't even like, it didn't even wing him. It was just kind of like right there, you know what I mean? And I was like, pretty sure there's some important organs there. that you kind of need to continue living.
Well, if the pattern opened up and most of the pellets hit him and only one hit him, maybe he could survive it. But it would have been a 30 caliber pellet, probably, depending on what it was. If it was double op buck, and it would have mashed out, you know, and it would have done damage in there. They'd have to get it out. It probably wouldn't have gone through him.
But yeah,
maybe
so
maybe it would. It probably would have gone through him. Come to think of it.
So basically, I mean, what happens in this? Like I said, he's a CIA assassin. He quits. He ends up just randomly in this town because his car breaks down, and he ends up staying with the mechanic played by Scott Wilson, and he stays in their house because he's like, hey, we live out in the middle of fucking nowhere, and it's going to take a few days for the parts for your car to come in because it's like a transmission problem. And so he lets him stay in the house, and then he kind of gets involved with, there's this shady politician, businessman type of dude, and he has like all these henchmen, and he's like buying up all these properties. And if you won't sell to him, then he will basically, like, fuck your shit up. Like, burn it down or have you killed or something like that. And then it turns out that he's some kind of, like, weird, like, white nationalist, like, fucking terrorist cells or something. And yeah, he has, like, all these kind of, like, things. So there's, so he kind of gets embroiled in that, like,
yeah,
without, like, it's just, like I said, randomly. And then, because he quit the CIA, then they actually send Lauren Hutton to come and kill him. Like, yeah, she's supposed to poison him.
Yeah.
But she's, like, in love with him, and so she doesn't. And then she ends up getting killed. And then there's, like, just this big fucking firefight where, you know, him and, like, the remaining townspeople that don't want to move, like, fight back against the other dudes. And yeah, so there's, like, a big thing. But let's talk a little bit, too, about, because I think we brought this up on one of the shows, is that the mechanic has a daughter who is 17, yeah, named Jo, and she is all about that Burt Reynolds action.
Yeah.
She wants to jump on that D so bad.
Yeah.
Well,
she hasn't been anywhere. She's been up in the damn mountains by herself.
And I'm sitting there watching it, and I'm, yeah, watching it, and I'm just like, this isn't going to go the way I think it's going to go, is it? Because I was like, that girl is clearly old enough to be his daughter by quite a substantial margin.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm going to be really mad if this goes in, like, some weird, she's like, you know what I mean? It doesn't, but it does get a little, I don't know, it does get a little weird. But it's more like her kind of, like, pursuing, if she's, like, fascinated by him, I guess.
Yeah.
And so she, like, creeps around in his room, like, looking through his shit. Like, he'll be out on the porch, like, doing, like, smoking or looking at the stars or whatever, and she'll come out there, like, in her robe, like, yeah, to talk to him and stuff. So she's, like, and he seems, like, kind of, I don't know, it kind of seemed like it was gonna go in that direction, and I'm kind of like, ew, but you know what I mean? But it doesn't.
She's cute, but he's just knows that she's too,
yeah, young. Cause that's the thing, and then they do kind, yeah, of establish, like, that, yeah, he had something going with, like, Lauren Hutton, yeah, who obviously was a lot more age appropriate.
Yeah.
So there was that, but it was like, I don't know, I did kind of, like, think that it was gonna go, like, in, yeah, a weird, like, Burt Reynolds bangs a teenager type of thing, and I was just like, this is, like, really strange. But yeah, it doesn't go that way.
Yeah, women worry about that a lot.
Well, no, I'm just saying, it's like, I thought it was, like, creepy. Yeah. I thought it was creepy, and I was just kind of like,
she liked him. She liked him. But the thing is that Burt Reynolds is Burt Reynolds. He was in good shape, but he wasn't in that good of shape. He wasn't in that good of shape, I don't think.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, you could kind of see it because, you know, she was 17. She, yeah, was from this tiny, tiny little town. She'd, yeah, never been anywhere.
She'd never seen any.
And this is just, like, yeah, a fascinating, like, mysterious
secret agent dude in that car.
Who, he doesn't say that he's a secret agent, yeah, but it's like,
comes off that way.
He comes off as, like, there's something, yeah, like, really intriguing, yeah, and mysterious about him. Like, at first, I think she thinks that he's a criminal.
Yeah.
Which, again, she's just kind of like, oh, a criminal.
Yeah, she might like that.
Yeah, she might like that, too.
He had a badass car, and he had a fucking stashes of hidden weapons up underneath it. That's pretty cool. I don't know if you could have stashed that shotgun up underneath that car and then
not had that
mechanic notice it, though. Because the mechanic knows what an undercarriage looks like.
Well, maybe he did notice it, and he said, I'm just going to leave that there.
Yeah. It's all wrapped up.
I'm sure that's there for a reason.
Yeah, it was a sawed-off shotgun up there.
Well, because the mechanic, I mean, they were both, you know, they Vietnam veterans, obviously they were doing, yeah, different shit, but they were, like, both over there, so they kind of, like, bonded over that.
Yeah.
And I liked that, like, Scott Wilson's character, his name's Paul, isn't it? Paul Barlow or Bartow or something,
yeah,
like that.
Yeah, something like that.
And he was kind of like, He didn't really ask, like, Burt Reynolds, like, hey, are you a criminal or anything like that? I don't think.
No.
He was just kind of like, well, you've got your shit going, and I'm just going to trust that you're, like, an okay dude, because you seem like an okay dude.
He asked him when he was over there, and he fucking gave dates where he was over there before the war actually
before the war started.
So
he's like, that's a little early, isn't it? And he's like, no, for what I was doing.
Yeah, see, but CIA was doing stuff down there.
Yeah.
A lot of intelligence agencies were doing stuff down there before the war started.
So I kind of feel like because they had bonded over that, he was just kind of like, well, I think this is a good dude, and I'm not going to, like, probe too much into his background.
Or at least a dangerous dude.
Yeah, because he's like, obviously, I don't. Yeah. So maybe he did, when he was working on the car, maybe he did see that gun under there, and he just said, well, I'm just going to leave that there because that's his shit, and I'm not asking any questions.
Yeah. Well, you couldn't tell it was a gun. I knew it was a gun when he was taking it out, but then he unwrapped it and everything. It was a shotgun.
And he seemed like...
I remember correctly.
Scott Wilson, his character, seemed, like, pretty okay with Burt Reynolds, like, hanging out with his 17-year-old daughter.
Yeah. And what was weird is, you know, you don't have to hide a shotgun in the United States. Those were legal. And if I remember correctly, it was a short-barreled shotgun. You could have those, too, especially if you could get those licensed. It was just there for clandestine purposes. That way he could get through security, I guess. That'd be the only reason why you'd ever have to hide it.
So you always have one as, like, a backup that people don't know about, you know what I mean? If you get, like, in a situation and there's, like...
Or you're undercover or something.
Yeah, or somebody's just kind of like, you can't just have shit, like, in your trunk or, like, in a really obvious place.
Right, and it was something to sneak into a place with it.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So that's probably what it was. But, yeah, this is... I hadn't really heard much about this movie, and like I said, we just kind of... I think I vaguely remember hearing the name of it, but I never really heard anybody talk about it.
I remember the name, but I never saw it.
Yeah, I didn't either, I don't think. And so it was just interesting that we just kind of found it randomly because we were like, hey, it's free and Burt Reynolds is in it. And we're kind of on the Burt Reynolds kick at the moment.
It was good. It was kind of like a high-end canon movie.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, it definitely didn't have that cheesiness. Like, you can tell how cheap it was. Yeah. Like the canon one. Like the Charles Bronson one that we did the other day, the assassination, where you could absolutely tell.
It was
hey, it's DC, but there's palm trees.
Yeah.
You know,
that one was so bad, it was good.
That's true.
It made it kind of chintzy. But I was just rolling with it. Yeah, I was just rolling with it. Like, okay.
It was still entertaining, though.
That was the whole idea. They were just trying to entertain you.
Yeah. This one seemed a lot more, like I said, serious, a lot more...
Like a real movie.
Decently budgeted. Yeah. I kind of felt like that canon one, it didn't really seem exactly like a real... Like, obviously, it seemed like a real movie. But like I said, it had like a very chintzy feel to
this
it.
This one, I think, was trying to be like Bullet.
The
car was kind of like Bullet. There were some chase scenes. They weren't as good as something out of Bullet. It wasn't as dry as Bullet. But it was kind of... Imagine if you had some canon trying to do Bullet, but they had money.
Burt Reynolds actually compared this to, like, Shane or First Blood.
Yeah.
Somewhere around there.
Kind
of,
yeah.
Which, tonally it is kind of like that, where it's just somebody that, like a badass, like, randomly ends up in this town and kind of gets involved with this, you know, corruption and shit that's going on.
I
in this
see where
town.
He's coming, like First Blood.
Yeah, yeah. He's like not so much like the second one, like Rambo or anything, but he's like that.
Of course,
that
it's not one. Showcasing physicality. Stallone was in fucking super good shape for First Blood. There was a lot of physical action where he's out there just with a damn knife, you know, fucking freezing to death in the wind, in the rain. There isn't stuff like that. It's more kind of like secret agent stuff.
Yeah, he comes across like Burt Reynolds. I actually quite liked him in this because he does come across as like very stoic.
Yeah.
And just kind of like cool as a cucumber type of thing. Like, I love that scene in the barbershop, like where that guy comes in like is going to kill him, right? And then he's just there with the newspaper over his lap. You know, you remember that scene where he's like, where he's say, like, kind of like saying that he has a gun under there, and it's like that was a great fucking scene. I liked that.
I don't remember if he had one in there or not.
Well, he didn't. He just had he had his finger under it like that. But then, like later, after he turned the tables on the guy, then he actually did have one somewhere else. Right. So he did end up blowing that dude away.
Yeah.
But yeah, this had like a lot of shootings, a lot of explosions. But yeah, it was just like a really good, like sleazy ass villain.
Yeah. This one, I think repeat viewings, it might hold up. I wouldn't mind seeing it again later on.
Yeah.
It looks like, it felt kind of like a movie that could grow on you if you'd seen it a couple times.
Yeah. Like I said, I actually really surprised myself with how much I enjoyed this one.
Yeah.
I just really liked how cool Burt Reynolds was in it.
Yeah. I enjoyed it.
I did it as well.
I just want to know if I'd like it, if I saw it again, if I'd like it better or less. Sometimes repeat viewings really kind of helps you establish whether or not you actually, it helps you establish whether or not the movie's actually good or if you actually like it.
Yeah.
Sometimes you see it again, you're like, eh, you know, that, no, you know. Sometimes you see it again, oh, no, no, that's cool part, you know. You see things in it you didn't see before.
That's why I'm actually, like, a big advocate. Yeah. And like I said, I like to have, you know, quite a bit of time in between. But if I liked a movie the first time or I thought it was, like, a good idea, but I didn't, there was some stuff I didn't get or whatever, I usually like to give it another chance. Yeah. Like, a, you know, 6 months, a year down the road and see. Because you pick up a lot more stuff the second time.
I watched Zardoz again yesterday. Or was it the day before? Was it yesterday or the day before?
I think it was yesterday.
And I liked it. But of course, I didn't watch the intro of that dude talking. Yeah. I fucking skipped that.
With his,
it's a lot better just start with that the damn head shows head. Up. Zardoz has spoken. All kinds of. But I liked it better on repeat. Would have seen it again. I saw a lot more in it. But also later on, some of the technology, the way they're describing the technology, is kind of tedious because they're trying to describe technologies like metaverses and internets to an audience that has no idea what that is.
Which everybody knows what that is.
Yeah,
now,
it gets kind of
so you're like, all right, we got it. But back then, you know.
Right, and biotech, respawning people through biotechnology and then downloading the consciousness through this into those bodies so you could come back to life. They had to they didn't have the vocabulary to describe it too well.
Yeah. Oracle says, I can't believe Christopher Lambert was under consideration for this. Yeah, it would have been a little weird. You know what would have been weirder? The other actor they were considering was Gerard Depardieu, which would have been very strange. I know he was in serious shit, too, but I kind of felt like, I don't know, I feel like in American movies, he usually played, like, comedic roles, at least the stuff that I saw him in. I know that in French movies, he played more, like, serious stuff, but...
Star Dogs talk about born losers, about a Vietnam veteran versus bikers. I'd like to see that one. I've never heard that one. Wait a minute.
Oh, no, I
think I did see that one. Isn't that where they're fighting in that bar?
Now I'd have to see that again. I'm pretty sure I saw that.
I think I saw that one. It's not that old. I think it's from the 80s, isn't it?
It's not the 80s. It's not that old.
I was thinking biker movies, I'm always thinking of the 60s.
Yeah, because there were a lot.
All right.
Of them.
They
did some on Mystery Science Theater, like the Hellcats. And
right.
What was that other one they did with the Side Hackers?
Yeah.
That was a good one. Chili Peppers burned my gut. But yeah. So yeah, this is, I think it's Amazon Prime. I can't remember if it's Amazon Prime or if it's YouTube, but it's on one of the streaming services. For free. Must have been Amazon Prime because I don't remember seeing any ads. And if it was on YouTube for free, then it would have ads. And I'm pretty sure we watched it without ads. So I think it was Amazon Prime. So, yeah. So I don't know. Like, we might watch another. Do you want to do another Burt movie?
Yeah, we can
for tomorrow? Or, you know, it's up to you. We can if you want.
Yeah, we'll find one.
Or we can go back to horror movies or we can do whatever.
We can do both.
But it just depends. But yeah, so
we can
I guess,
you know.
I guess I'm kind of sleepy from last night. Although I didn't get I stuck with beer last night, just for whatever reason. I don't know. Every time I go to Will's Pub, even though, because when we used to go to Will's Pub a long time ago, they didn't have a liquor license, so all they had was beer and wine.
Yeah.
So I just got used to every time you go to Will's Pub, I would just drink beer, even though I'm not a big beer person. But so now I just associate Will's Pub with beer, so I just usually get beer when I'm there. But they have hard liquor now, though.
I got drunk, and I informed a Starry Night that I was a white Hispanic, and they didn't buy it. But Elia's going, you're a white Hispanic? What makes you white Hispanic? Speak Portuguese, man. He goes, you are white.
It's just fucking funny. Fucking
Elia. Yeah.
I missed that conversation.
Yeah,
I wish you are white. I wish I had been there for that.
I was like,
yeah, they're like, take it from like actual.
Yeah.
From actual.
He had to straighten me out on that, I guess.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
You're not allowed. You have to be a white dude.
Yeah, I have to be a white guy.
It was a good show last night, though. We had a good
time. Yeah, good time.
And the opening band was good, too. They were called Laboratory.
Yeah.
And yeah, they were also quite
cool. Yeah, cute little chick came out of damn grave and was looking dancing.
Little coffin they
had.
Yeah,
just all kinds of stuff.
And she had glow in the dark contact lenses. Yeah. That was like pretty cool. So they had like black light and stuff.
Yeah, I got a shirt from them.
Yeah, we got a shirt from them. We got a Starry Night shirt and a little poster.
CD. Where's their CD?
It's right over there.
All right, we'll get that. Where is it?
It's right over there on top of my phone.
On top of the phone.
On top of the phone, right there.
This one, yeah.
Yeah.
Go ahead and plug that one.
Yeah, this
that's
is
a new one.
Yeah, this is their newest one.
Yeah, we got a 10. I always buy CDs from them. You know what I mean? Just so they're just pop them into your damn Xbox and play them.
Yeah, that's what we do.
Because I got that sound bar. It's got good quality on it. But I just like to have physical product too.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah.
Supporting the band.
Yeah,
also.
Only $10.
There you go.
Yep.
And I was gonna say something else too about. No, I can't remember what it was. Shit, dude. Yep, just went right out of my head. I guess I am kind of sleepy. I'm also kind of hungry, too.
I can make something. I was going to make something before, and it got to be showtime.
Okay, what you going to make?
I don't know. Probably some pork tenderloin or something.
Okay.
We'll see. I got to get down there and see what's available.
All right, we got to go down there and see what's up. So, yeah, we might do another Burt Reynolds movie for tomorrow, so... have a good rest of your weekend, everybody, and we'll see you guys again tomorrow afternoon. Bye.